Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your scripture. And today, Lord, as we start this section in Revelation, it's all about judgment. I pray, Lord God, that you would speak through me. I pray, Lord God, you'd help me to keep things as simple as I possibly can. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just bless this time in your word. Lord, there's a reason why people came this morning. They want to hear from you. So we pray, Lord Jesus, you would speak to them. Speak to every heart that is in this room and every heart that is watching. We ask you, Lord, just to be in our midst this morning. And would you reveal yourself to us through these scriptures? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so before we start chapter 6, I just want to say a couple things, okay? We're going to hit this section of Revelation. We're going to take our time, okay? I'm going to give you a warning. I'm probably going to get to the first two verses of chapter 6, the first seal. But I want you to understand some things. So I'm going to do my best to keep it as simple as I possibly can, okay? And as we go through, I may have Sundays where I print stuff out for you. The reason I print this stuff out for you is to help you for your own study time, okay? I strongly encourage you to study it. Now, here's the thing. Some of you who are more seasoned may know more prophecy and things, and you may look at what I hand out and go, well, Pastor, you forgot this, and Pastor, you forgot that. Listen, I didn't forget. I prayed about it and asked the Holy Spirit to show me how much to reveal, because I'm trying to keep this very, very simple. This can be very complicated. And why is it complicated? One of the reasons it's complicated is because most Christians don't know their Old Testament. And one of the best books to read as a commentary on the book of Revelation is the book of Daniel. And we're going to be in there today, okay? So keep that in mind. Another thing, and I need to say this because of the time we're living in. Be very mindful when you go on YouTube and you watch people teaching, quote unquote, the Bible. Amen. There's a lot of nonsense on there. And can I tell you, really honestly, that's why I tell you guys to read the Bible for yourself. And like, we may actually hit things that you may not agree with me, and that's okay. I'm okay if you don't agree with me, but here's what I'm not okay with. If you don't agree with me, then show me why in the scripture why you don't agree with me, okay? So that's something that you need to keep in mind. Another thing, not everything is a conspiracy theory. I need to say that too. Not everything is a conspiracy theory. COVID really screwed us up with that, didn't it? Are there conspiracies? Sure. And you know what the grand conspiracy is? We're going to talk about the grand conspiracy, that it's all going to head to a one world government, one world religion. You're seeing it, okay? But I am not going to get into chasing rabbit trails here, rabbit trails there, okay? I'm really not going to try to do that, all right? And I keep it to the text, to keep it to the scripture. Another thing to keep in mind, and that everything that happens in the Middle East is prophecy. Sometimes people can get way, way ahead of their skis, so to speak, about stuff because something happens. Do I know how things are going to play out exactly? No, I don't. Nobody does. And if they tell you they do, they don't. Nobody does for sure, knows for sure, okay? So keep that in mind as we go through this as well. And I will do my best when it's my opinion. I will tell you it's my opinion. So take that for what it's worth, okay? You guys all have that ground. Oh, one more thing. Please don't shout out. If I ask a question, I'm asking a rhetorical question to get you to think. Unless I say, you can say the answer. Please don't shout out. It's just confusing, especially when people don't know. And here's the thing, guys. I'm trying to teach in a way that's simple because some of you may have never heard any of this before. So I'm trying to be very, very cognizant of those things. So with that in mind, we're in Revelation 6. Let's read the first two verses, and then we will jump in. But before we do, I gave you these two handouts. This first one here is a great one. This one is the Book of Revelation tribulation period, okay? And here, it gives you a listing of the other names for this time period that we're going to cover, these 7 years, okay? It's literally 7 years, okay? The last 7 years of human history. And so these are the different names. They call it the time of Jacob's trouble. I give you the scripture reference, the indignation in Isaiah, all those things. And then I give you below here the seven purposes for the tribulation period. And I think it's important that we go over those. The purposes for the tribulation period: to pour out God's righteous judgment on Christ rejecting wicked world, number one. Number two, bring Israel to national repentance and faith in the Messiah. and human rebellion and prepare the world for Christ's kingdom demonstrates God's holiness, justice, and sovereignty. And some of you guys are waiting for God's justice, and I get it. Offer a final worldwide call to salvation, true. Defeat the Antichrist, false prophet, and Satan. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. And fulfill God's prophecies and covenants. And for those of you who are more visual learners, I include this little picture in a book I have. I think it's really good. So listen, put this in your Bible, use it, look over it as we go through these things. It's important. Then the next one here too is, this is, and I know, I don't have a lot of detail, so before you say anything, a basic breakdown of the three different judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the vial or bowl judgments, okay? A basic breakdown and outline of where we're headed, all right? And of course, if you have questions for me, you can ask me. But again, use this as a reference point as we go through these things, and I'll do my best to keep it as simple, like I said, as possible. Okay, so now let's read the text. And so, chapter 6, verse 1, now I saw, and who is speaking? John, the apostle. Now I saw when the Lamb, and who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. Now when I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and we talked about the fact that this scroll, in my opinion, is the title deed of the earth that was given over to Satan when Adam and Eve fell. And so this scroll was there with the seven seals, sealing it shut with writ. So what is happening right now is Jesus is taking the seventh scroll and he's going to break the first seal. Okay? So now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures with a loud voice like thunder, come and see. Verse 2, and I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow. And that's like a bow and arrow, okay? Notice there's no arrows. And a crown was given to him, and that is the Stephanos crown, the Greek, that's the victor's crown. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. Okay, now, who is the rider on the white horse? There's a lot of speculation as to who it is. Some think it's Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons they think it's Jesus Christ is because if you go further in the book of Revelation, Revelation 19, it talks about the fact that Jesus returns, his second coming, and he rides on a white horse. Now, there's a recent, somebody told me this recently, I don't agree with this. They said that the white horse represents capitalism. I don't know how they get that out of that, but that's what they told me. I don't agree with that, okay? Here's what I think. Who they're referring to here is the Antichrist. The Antichrist. How many of you guys have ever heard of the Antichrist? How many people know the Antichrist? Just kidding. Just checking to see if you're paying attention. The Antichrist. Well, who is the Antichrist? Well, we've talked about him throughout as we've gone through the New Testament. He's mentioned a few times. The Antichrist is the end times false Messiah, world leader who seeks world domination so he can destroy Israel and the followers of Jesus Christ. Now, there are many scriptures, some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, that refer to this man different ways, have different names. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to hit some of these scriptures to kind of give you a big picture of who he is. Now, who he is. I'm going to just answer these questions right away because these are the questions. Is he alive today? I don't know for sure. I'm not sure. Also, the Antichrist is not Bill Clinton. It's not George W. Bush. It's not Barack Obama. It's not Trump. It's not Biden. Okay? They're not the Antichrist. I mean, every president, if you listen to certain people, have been the Antichrist. We don't really know who the Antichrist is. But see, if you believe what we believe, which is we're going to be called out of here before this all starts, we're not even going to know. And see, the reason that I believe that I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but we've talked about a pre-tribulational rapture. We as a church believe that. You don't have to agree with me, that's okay. But I believe we're called out of here before all this starts. Because if we are still here when he comes to power, what are we going to do? We're going to tell everybody that's the Antichrist. See, the Antichrist, the word anti, can mean opposed to or instead of or in place of. You have to understand something. The Antichrist is going to come as the Messiah. As the Messiah. As a whole, the nation of Israel rejects Jesus as their Messiah. There are some Jews who are saved, for sure. But most Jews don't believe in the Antichrist. Believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So this Antichrist is going to take the place of Christ instead. And they're going to worship him, in a sense, as their Messiah. Now, here we go. We're going to turn different places. If you can't keep up, it's okay. First place I want to turn is 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John actually is the only book that actually refers to the Antichrist as the Antichrist. It's the only book that uses that actual term. 1 John chapter 2, left-hand turn. So go Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. So 1 John chapter 2, we're going to be at verse 18. And John says this, little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. And when he says the Antichrist, he means the Antichrist, okay? Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, something I need to explain to you guys. There have been pictures of world leaders who have been Antichrist-like. For one, Hitler would be one. There's one back in Israel's history named Antiochus Epiphanes. He's another one. But there have been pictures of world leaders who have done evil, deplorable things that you could say is an Antichrist type. However, it's not the Antichrist. He has not come on the scene yet, but he's coming. He goes on, verse 19. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. And if they had not been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest or revealed that none of them were of us. Now, interesting here, Antichrist, I just talked about that. Talked about the fact that the word anti, it's antichristos in the Greek, and it can mean either against Christ or instead of Christ. It's a person who sets himself in the place of Christ, especially implying the usurping of Christ out of his position. So an antichrist can be somebody who takes the place of Christ. And a lot of times what happens is we talk about this idea. Have you guys ever heard this term, the spirit of Antichrist? Well, what is he saying here? What does that mean, the spirit of Antichrist? Well, the spirit of Antichrist simply means it's this idea or this influence that's having people to put things instead of Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior in their life. And we see that today in our culture. There's all kinds of things going on that you would say that's a spirit of Antichrist for sure. Very interesting stuff going on. You see a rise of anti-Semitism now. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Another place I want us to turn. Turn to Turn to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And listen, I am not going to, in Revelation 13 it talks about the Antichrist, but I am not going to, some of the details of the Antichrist I'm going to leave till we get to chapter 13 that fits better for what we're going to cover. So understand that. And so Revelation 13, speaking about the same person, says this, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. And by the way, he's referred to as the beast. So he's referred to as the Antichrist, he's referred to as the beast. Rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon is Satan, gave him his power, his throne, his great authority. Wow. Verse 3, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And listen, what's going to happen is this world leader is going to come on the scene, this Antichrist, and there's going to be almost like a false resurrection. Question, you guys remember July of last year, 2024, there was an assassination attempt on President Trump's life. And after that, a lot of people said he's won the election because of it. Because what happens is people, we see people in that situation and they survive, et cetera, et cetera. And what do? We tend to favor them, don't we? And so this false Messiah, this world leader, something is going to happen to him where it's going to be almost like a false resurrection, so then it's going to lead people to follow him even more. Verse 4, so they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And here's the thing, when you worship Antichrist, you're really worshiping Satan. Just saying. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months or 3.5 years. Now, another place I want us to turn. This time we're going to go Old Testament. Turn to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel, chapter 7. And so far we've learned the Antichrist is the Antichrist. He's also referred to as the beast. And now in Daniel here, he's going to be referred to as the little horn. And why a horn? Well, a horn symbolizes power, strength. It symbolizes a king, symbolizes a ruler. And so Daniel chapter 7, when we be in verse 8, and Daniel sees this vision, and he says, I was considering the horns, and there was a horn, a little horn, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were the eyes, like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking pompous words, or great words. We just said that, right? The beast is going to speak great words. Now, something interesting. I don't want to get into the weeds too much with this. Let's go to verse 23 now. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it into pieces. Then the ten horns are ten kings, who shall rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be a little different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, that's God, and shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change the times and the law, and the saints shall be given into his hand for times and a half. In other words, 3.5 years. Now, what's being said here? Sometime in the future, there's going to be 10 kingdoms on this earth, 10 nations. So go like this. What is this? What does this make? 10, right? Okay. And what it says here is that from this 10, a little horn is going to rise and is going to subdue three of the nations. And that one who's going to rise, who's going to subdue three of the nations, is going to be the Antichrist. His career is going to start out kind of small, going to come on the scene, and then all of a sudden it's going to lead to world domination. That's who this man is going to be. And what is this world looking for right now? If you're not a Christian, what is this world looking for? A savior. One is going to bring peace, right? Because there's all of this peace. There's all this lack of peace, in a sense. Now, one more place I want to turn before we go back to Revelation. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we've learned that the Antichrist is the Antichrist, the beast, the little horn. Okay? The little horn. And so now in this passage, we're going to learn that he is the man of sin. He's the son of perdition. He's the lawless one. And so 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Says this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the second coming, and the gathering together to him, that's the rapture, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it from us, as though the day of Christ or the day of the Lord, you could say, had come. Now, something to keep in mind. Paul stays in Thessalonica for 3 weeks, and he teaches about the end times. 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians covers all these things. And so what happens is he leaves, as he normally does. And when he leaves, there are believers there who are believing that they missed everything, that everything that Paul taught them, it's already happening. They're missing all these things. And so Paul's writing these letters to straighten them out and to say, don't be troubled. Don't you remember what I taught you? We'll get that in a moment. And then he says this in verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Falling away in the Greek there is apostasy. How many of you guys ever heard the word apostasy? Tell me if you see a falling away in the church today. Just tell me.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Then it says this, and the man of sin is revealed. That is the Antichrist and the son of perdition or the son of destruction. Do you know there's one other person that's called the son of perdition in the Bible? You know who it is? It's Judas Iscariot. And here's the thing about Judas. Everyone thought he was a disciple, didn't they? Until he betrayed Jesus. Everyone's going to think the Antichrist is the Messiah until he really reveals who he is. Think about that. Verse 4, this Antichrist opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, so just in that one verse, we got a whole lot of information. Number one is this. There is no Jewish temple today, is there? But it's coming. You don't believe me? Go on Google. And I don't often encourage this, but Google the Temple Institute in Israel. They have everything ready to go. Something is going to happen where they're going to be allowed to rebuild their temple again. And He is going to, this Antichrist, most feel, is going to be a part of that, letting the Jews rebuild their temple. And then halfway through that seven-year period of the tribulation, he's going to go into the temple and tell everybody to stop worshiping and to worship him as God. And we would call that the abomination of desolation. And you guys are like, what in the world? But in this one verse, we cover a lot here. See, there's a lot of moving parts to this whole thing, isn't there? That's why people get confused. But you just take it in little chunks, bit by bit, and put it together, it makes sense. Now, verse 5, let's continue. He says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So he's referring back to verse 2. Guys, why are you shaken? Remember what I taught you. Don't listen to these people on YouTube. Remember what I taught you from the scripture. Verse 6, and now you know what is restrained, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one, again, who is the lawless one? It's the Antichrist. And the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, these three verses here, we've learned a lot of information thrown out there. So there's this restrainer who is holding these things back, holding back this Antichrist, this beast, this lawless one, this son of perdition to be revealed. Who is the restrainer? There's a lot of opinions. Here's mine. You ready? The restrainer is the church. The church is going to be removed. The Holy Spirit through the church is going to be removed. And then once the church is removed, this is when this Antichrist is going to be revealed. Why? Because I believe if we're still here when he's revealed, what are we going to say? We're going to tell everybody that's not the Messiah. That's the Antichrist. We need to be out of here. And by the way, again, my opinion, this is my opinion. I don't know if you noticed this during COVID. All of a sudden, our government began to reveal that we were visited by aliens. Did you guys notice that? And some well-known podcasters are espousing these things, right? Well, can I tell you what I think? Here's what I think, so take it for what it's worth. I think all these aliens are demonic. And I think it's setting up so when the rapture happens, they have something to explain where we all went. They were beamed up, literally, in a sense. That's my opinion, so take it for what it's worth. I don't know about you, but have you noticed it's very, very hard to know what's true anymore? Can you imagine when the church is removed, what's going to happen? Literally, all hell's going to break loose on this earth. See, we have the antidote for all this. It's called the scripture. But you got to read it. Oh, I hear people all the time that come in my office. I'm not a reader. I don't read the Bible. Okay. Can you listen to it? We have the technology now. Put an app on your phone and listen to it. You need to be in the Word. Because when you're in the Word, what's going to do is the Word is going to tell you who you are in light of who Christ says you are. I don't know about you, but the more I read the Bible, the more I realize I need him. Like every day, I need him. It's made me a better man. It's made me a better husband, for sure. You want to be a better husband? Read the Bible. Oh, come on, Pastor. Yeah, seriously, read the Bible. You want to be a better husband? Read the Bible. Let God speak to you through his word. Boy, will he speak to you. You ask him to speak to you through his word, he will. He will. The problem is we don't listen. The problem is we don't obey. You know, one of the things we do at this church is I give Bibles to people all the time. And why do I give people Bibles? Because I encourage them to read. Sometimes I'll give them Bibles with helps in them. Why? Because I want to help them to read the scripture to get to know the Lord, to get to know the author of this book. So verse 8 again. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And that's going to happen in Revelation 19, in Christ's second coming. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power. Signs and lying wonders. So remember, we read in Revelation 13 about this beast, about this Antichrist. He's going to be empowered and sent by Satan to do all these lying signs and wonders. Why? To deceive people. You think it's hard now to know what's true. Think about that. Have you ever been deceived by somebody? Yeah. It's real easy to happen. Imagine now. Now, he goes on to something interesting here. Verse 10. With all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. Listen, they perish why? Listen to what he says here. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So who's the problem with you not being saved? It's you. You need to receive Christ as your Savior to be saved. He's the one with the truth. The Bible has the truth. Receive it. Receive it. Read it. Receive the love of the truth. And so listen, nobody goes to hell because God sends them to hell. They send themselves to hell. You understand that? You know, we will say that in Christian circles a lot, but do we fully understand that? Like how serious this is. Like I have a choice to whether receive the love of the truth, receive Christ as my Savior, or reject him. And if I reject him, my destination is hell. It's not purgatory, it's hell for eternity. It's the place where the worm doesn't die. It's the place of outer darkness where the fire is not quenched. One of the pictures of hell in the Bible is the Valley of Hinnom in Israel. That's where child sacrifice took place. It became a garbage dump where there was constantly burning garbage there. That's a picture of hell, what hell is going to be like. And hell is not a party. Satan's not there partying. Satan's going to be tortured for eternity too. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25. It's not created for us, but you put yourself there because you reject the truth. And we have the truth right in front of us. Guys, we have such a privilege. You know, we have the Bible in front of us. We have brothers and sisters around the world who don't even have a full Bible. Sometimes they have one page of the Bible and they read it. And yet we have Bibles. We have 20,000 Bibles. Go to my office. I have 20,000 Bibles. And yet we don't read it at all. Like if I went to your home today and I would look at your shelf, you probably have like five Bibles and probably four of them are all dusty because you never use them. We have no excuse. But see, we make these excuses in our own life. And then he says this, verse 11, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. A delusion. Is it easier for you to be deceived if you're not reading the Bible? Yeah, the answer is yes. Absolutely. You want to be deceived? Here, I'll say it like this. I'll make it as blunt as I can. If you want to be deceived, don't read your Bible. You want to be deceived? Don't read your Bible. Keep watching YouTube videos. Seriously, if you want to be deceived, stop reading the Bible. I don't know about you, but my ego as a man, I don't want to be deceived. I'm going to read. Try to motivate you. You want to be a man? Read the Bible. Okay, I'll say something. Okay. If you want to be a real man, a real godly man, read the Bible. You have no excuse. Again, verse 11, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Verse 12, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. Now back to Revelation 6. So again, verse 1, now I saw when the Lamb, that's Jesus, opened one of the seals on the scroll, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow. And the one who is sitting on this horse is the Antichrist. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. Who gave him the crown? You ever asked that? Remember when I read last week, Luke chapter 4, and Jesus was tempted by Satan. And Satan says to him, if you bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. So who gives him the crown? Satan gives him the crown. I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it with a bow. Now, the bow has no arrows. Why? Because the bow, see, in those days, if you wanted to project that you had force, you would have a bow. You'd have a picture of a bow showing that you could project force. So he's going to bring this, because look, not only is he the false Messiah, he's going to bring a false peace to this earth, a false peace, especially in the Middle East. Now, we'll talk about that in a moment, but a false peace. And so a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. So listen, if he has a bow, he's showing that he can project force at some point, that he can conquer. That's what's happening here. And so how does he achieve this? Well, listen, one of the things that has been throughout our history, it's been peace in the Middle East, right? No one's been able to solve it. Okay, well, let's just get this out of the way. True peace isn't going to come until the Prince of Peace returns. But there's going to be a false peace in its place for 3.5 years. It's going to be this Antichrist who's going to bring this false peace. And how is he going to bring this false peace? Well, I'm glad you asked. So, look, see this? Look at this chart. This is a chart of Daniel chapter 9. And there's also visual aids in the back, too. Make it real simple. I'm trying to make it simple. So guess where I want you guys to turn? Daniel chapter 9. Turn to Daniel chapter 9, left-hand turn. I promise this is going to be the last place we're going to turn this morning. Daniel chapter 9. I told you Daniel is an important book, especially with regards to Revelation. Daniel 9. Daniel 9, we'll give me verse 20. Daniel 9, verse 20. We'll start, we've got a running start here. And you might want to take this out so you can look at this. Okay, so now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, wow, even the Old Testament, interesting. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication or personal petitions before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man, Gabriel, who is an angel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, that is your petitions, the command went out, and I come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Now, these next few verses, verses 24 through 27, are the key to Bible prophecy. It's a key. I'm going to give you a key, okay? He says this. We'll read the verses, and then we'll unpack them. So, verse 24, 70 weeks, okay, or 77s, literally, are determined for your people. Who is Daniel's people? The Jews. He's Jewish. And for your holy city, what is the holiest city in Israel? Jerusalem. Thank you. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, or 69, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. Verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be a flood. Until the end of war, desolations are determined. Verse 27, then shall he confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, that's 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So, okay, you're like, oh my goodness, what is he talking about here? Okay, this is a vision, this is a prophecy of the future, okay? Now, he says 70 weeks are determined. When he says weeks, he means the idea of weeks is a set 1 7-year period, okay? So think 70 7-year periods, all right? And so he says here, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Those first three things were accomplished when Jesus Christ came the first time, when his first advent, right? We're going to celebrate that in a few weeks, right? Jesus' first advent, his first coming. Then the next three of these six things, to bring in an everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, that's going to happen when he returns the second time, okay? So the first three, first coming, the next three, second coming. Real simple. I'm trying to keep it real simple here. Okay, now, to verse 25, he says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Now, there is a gentleman named Sir Robert Anderson. Sir Robert Anderson used to work for Scotland Yard. And Sir Robert Anderson looked at this prophecy, and he figured out that when this, the going forth of a command to restore and build Jerusalem happened on March 14th, 445 BC. That's found in Ezra chapter 6. And so you take that, and you take The 69 seven-year periods, which is 483 years, it's based on a 360-day calendar. That's 173,880 days, okay, or 483 years. So you fast forward from March 14th, B.C., all those days, all those years, and where do you land? April 6th, 32 A.D. So according to his calculations, on April 6th, 32 A.D., what happened? Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, Palm Sunday. That's what happened. So know therefore and understand that going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah Prince, again, Jesus Christ. See, when he rides in on the donkey, what does he do? He reveals himself to the nation. He is the Messiah. Then he says there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, so 69 seven-year periods, 483 years. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. When he says cut off, the idea there is to suffer the death penalty. What happened when Jesus, after Jesus rode in on the donkey on Palm Sunday? A week later, he was what? Crucified. And then what? He rose from the grave, right? That's what he's talking about here. But then notice something interesting. And the people of the prince who is to come, the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That is, the city and the temple. In AD 70, the Romans came. Titus Vespasian was the governor or the general, and he sacked the city of Jerusalem and he destroyed the temple. That happened in AD 70. But notice something, this phrase, the people of the prince to come. Who is the prince to come? The prince to come there he's referring to is this Antichrist. Because look, Jesus came in and revealed himself as the Messiah, right? And most of Israel, what? Rejected Jesus as their Messiah. So they rejected him. So if they rejected Jesus the first time, which is what happened, then this other one's going to come in the place of Christ that they're going to receive. That's what's going to happen. Now, we keep going. He says, the end of it shall be with the flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant or a treaty with many for 1 week. That's this last seven-year period. This last seven-year period is what we're covering in Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 18. That last 7 years of history is what we're covering in Revelation. It's the last week. It's Daniel's last. It's his 70th week. Then he shall confirm. The idea there is establish a covenant or a treaty with many for 1 week. So 1 week is what? 7 years, according to our context, right? Notice what happens then. But in the middle of the week, that's 3.5 years in, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. So what has to happen? I just mentioned it earlier. The third temple has to be built. They have to be offering sacrifice. Most feel that when the Antichrist comes into this agreement, part of this agreement is that they're going to be allowed to rebuild the temple. And when they rebuild this temple, worship is going to take place. But then 3.5 years into it, the Antichrist is going to reveal who he really is, that he wants to be worshipped as God. Uh-oh, trouble. And then the last 3.5 years, so the first 3.5 years, he signs this agreement. That's what kicks this whole thing off. And then the last 3.5 years, oftentimes the Bible is called to as the Great Tribulation. Now, he says, on the wing abominations shall be one who makes desolate. That's the abomination of desolation. That's found in Matthew 24. I just read it in 2 Thessalonians 2. That is when the Antichrist goes to the temple and declares himself to be God and to be worshipped. See, Antichrist instead of in place of Christ. Get it? Even until the consummation, that is all these things coming together, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So this Antichrist, this beast, this little horn, this prince who is to come, this man of sin, this son of perdition, this lawless one, he's coming. And you know, it's funny because once you remember something, most of you don't remember this. Do you remember during COVID how quickly the whole entire earth just submitted? Remember that? See, a lot of times when people talk, we talk about these things, a lot of people say there's no way that people will just go after a world leader or a president or something because, you know, they just won't do it, right? How many of you guys remember 2008 when President Obama ran for president? Look how quickly people just followed him. You know, he is one of the most mysterious people, isn't he? He really is. But yet people followed him No problem. And then look at COVID. People just followed what the rules were, even though it was crazy. After the first 6 months, pretty much you could realize something was going on here. So it's not that far-fetched. It's not that far-fetched. And look, you look at our world today. There's so much deception, so much confusion, and the world is looking for a peace, and they think that this world leader, this Antichrist that's going to come, is going to give them the peace they're looking for, when in reality, the only one who can give you that peace is Jesus Christ. And you can have that peace now. If you receive him, if you receive the love of the truth. But you got to receive him. You got to receive him. And so, like, if you're sitting here this morning and you think this is crazy, that's okay. But if you're sitting here and you know that when I say about Jesus, you know you need him in your life, then you know what you need to do? You need to say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, will you please forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life? That's it. And if you said that, if you prayed that, you need to come see me. I want to give you a Bible after because I have plenty of Bibles. I want to give you a Bible for you to read so you start to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And so you read these things, and look, guys, you know, as we get into this stuff, you're thinking, well, you know, this is kind of depressing. Well, here's the thing. This is your opportunity when you learn these things to be ready. And when I mean be ready, what I'm saying is go out and tell other people. Tell other people what's coming. Tell them that this is on the horizon, that true peace can be found in Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. And the peace that you have in your life, and hopefully you're showing that peace, the peace that you have in your life is only from Jesus Christ. Make sense? We'll stop here this morning. I don't want to confuse anybody else or confuse people. I don't know. Maybe I did. I don't know. Did the best I could here. But the rider on this white horse is the Antichrist. He's the beast. He's the lawless one. And he's coming. Are you ready? And here's the problem, too, I'd say, with all of this. Alluded to in the beginning. If you're spending your time reading the Bible and chasing after things, trying to find out who is the Antichrist, then you're missing the whole point. Who should you be looking for? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He's the one we worship. He's the one we follow. He's the one we should be looking to. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. All right, Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray today that these things, Lord, would be simple as possible. I pray, Lord, that people would eat the meat and spit out the bones. And that, Lord, these things, as we continue to communicate them, help me, Lord, to keep it simple. I know there are still many questions out there, how this is all going to work out, Lord. We really don't know for sure. However, Lord, we know what your plan is. And as we look at these things, Lord, we realize you have a plan, that you always have a plan, that life isn't just this random thing we're floating around. You have a plan for all of us. If you have a plan for this world, you have a plan for us as individuals. Lord, would we rejoice in that? And would we walk in that plan? And Lord, I pray too for anyone here this morning, again, who doesn't know you, that today would be the day they would repent and surrender to you, Lord, that they get right with you. Lord, you love people, and you want to see them saved. But they got to respond. So Lord, help us to respond to this. And would this today, Lord, as believers, motivate us to tell others about you? Lord, help us to keep reading our Bibles. Help us not to chase after things that would deceive us. But help us to read our Bibles so we wouldn't be deceived. Thank you so much, Lord, for the blessing of your word. And I thank you for the people, your people here today. Would you bless them? Would you teach them by your spirit these things? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.